He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
And as this show is being done in December of 2022, I'm going to give our listeners who hear this show a rundown on gas pricing, both in the state of New York and the state of Connecticut as of the day that this show was done, because it varies widely and, to my way of thinking, is very interesting. In our nearby New York State stations, which for me are mostly visible when I travel on Route 22 southward down into Fairfield County, Connecticut, gas prices have dipped as low as below $3.80 a gallon at some stations along the way. The higher ones are still between $3.80 and $3.90, but everything seems to be below $4 a gallon between our listing area stations in the New York side of our border and going southward. You get down to Fairfield County, or you get down to actually Pound Ridge, New York, I'll be specific, and they have this mobile station, and I get a great kick out of it, and I hope some of the listeners will too. They post on their mobile station, same price, same low price, cash or credit. And that is related to the situation where some stations have a cash price that's generally around 10 cents less than if you use a credit card. And that happens to be the situation in some of the New York stations I see going along Route 22 towards Pound Ridge. And this mobile station is higher than anywhere else that I know of in the state of New York at $3.99 as of the day this show been done. Same low price, cash or credit, $3.99 for regular. I don't pay attention to the mid-grade and the premium prices in most of these examples I'm going to give the listeners because I can't see them fast enough when I go by. And I can tell you, though, that most premium pricing is a dollar more than the regular grade pricing is. The regular grade pricing generally is a lead-in price to get you to come into the station, and that's what you see posted on roadside stands or pricing stands. So if you have to use plus or premium in your car, do not get disappointed when you see what the actual premium or mid-grade price may be above that nice low posted price that caused you to drive in to see if you're going to get cheaper gas. But back to the subject, driving north through most of Connecticut the day this show was done, Richfield is always been an amazing, only questionable situation about what the real price of gas to the cost to the stations is, because their prices are higher than everywhere else in Connecticut that I travel on a regular basis. And the pricing is in the 380s. I think there was one at 392, but between 370, I'd say, and 392 in Richfield, Connecticut alone.
Can I just interrupt for 1 second on the Ridgefield thing?
Yes.
Do you think that it has anything to do with its proximity to North Salem, Pound Ridge? Because, you know, it's just literally over the line.
I don't think so, but I've always wondered, because other things have been more in some of the shops or some stores of things that are sold elsewhere outside of the Ridgefield area, maybe still in Fairfield County, have also been higher. And I'm wondering whether Richfield has a local tax situation on top. The other interesting thing about the Richfield pricing, because we're in Connecticut, where Connecticut has just extended the sales tax give back of 25 cents a gallon to at least the first of the year before they start raising the prices, I think, by 5 cents a gallon month by month until they recover the state sales tax addition of 25 cents a gallon, which I hadn't realized it was that much, which leads me to be suspicious about the pricing of the Richfield stations, because I'm wondering whether they ever gave that back to their users when it was first implemented, and I don't even remember when it was. But in any event, if it was never given back, that may be the reason their prices are still high. But as the Connecticut message to its residents was put out several days before this show is done, I noticed that some of our local Northwest Corner stations had dropped the price 10 to 20 cents over a period of 5 days or maybe 7 days around our corner. And it is down to, I think it's $3.49 in Sharon, $3.49 for regular in Lakeville. But we'll get back to that in a minute, because as I came north through Ridgefield and have mentioned the aforementioned pricing of between $3.70 and $3.90 for regular grade at most of the stations I saw, as soon as I got towards out of the Ridgefield area, I found a Citgo station that was at $3.49, and then we got into Brookfield and New Milford, where the pricing today of this day's show is $3.29 a gallon at many stations along the Route 7 corridor coming up from Ridgefield into New Milford and north. $3.29 has not reached the Northwest Connecticut corner, Connecticut stations. I do not know what the pricing in Tarrington is, but the pricing is definitely very varied throughout the western part of our northwestern part of our state, as far as I could see as this show is being done. Whether the prices remain low or not will be something to watch. We've been told by news organizations that the price may be below $3 a gallon average in Connecticut by Christmas time or New Year's. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
All right, and let me just interrupt and say that Torrington's around $3.35, $3.34.
Okay, well, they generally follow sometimes closely New Milford's pricing. But New Milford has always had very aggressive pricing and generally been lower down that Route 7 corridor than Torrington has and Winstead, for example, which we cover. So that's it, folks, for the gas pricing situation. The buying clubs, which generally revolve around Walmart, if they have gas stations, Stop and Shop, Costco, and BJ's, are lower than the $3.29 average in New Milford by about 3 to 6 cents a gallon. And then there are bonuses for membership situations in some of them that had me getting gas for $3.09 a gallon the day this show was done. And that is showing that the prices are dropping in Connecticut, although not as fast at the non-buying clubs stations as those places are. Good news for gas users, okay? Now, diesel, I've seen diesel as low, and maybe we may have it as low as it is in Connecticut, in our Northwest Connecticut corner stations, $5.43 a gallon. $5.43, right? That's way over a dollar above $3.29 by, what, $2 a gallon? So our co-host, Jay, who is not with us on the day this show is done, who has a diesel vehicle, has been parking his vehicle, and he won't be here to hear this show probably, but parking his vehicle because he's so flustered with the price of diesel fuel.
Yeah, and that, you know, if you are old enough and you've watched this for as long as we've watched this, you know, I'm going to say that it used to be a selling tactic, this was always an issue. Always.
Well, it's always been an issue. What the only thing I can say that we as Americans probably have to get used to, if gas is going to stay higher than the low prices, and we don't know what's going to happen. There's also a discussion during the day this show is done that about Russian oil having a cap on its per barrel cost, trying to affect that situation. OPEC is wondering what to do about production, and the news is talking about, well, maybe gas prices are going to spike up because of this and that and the other thing. So you don't really know. But the whole thing about our, let's say, plus dollar a gallon fuel that we've been faced with for quite some time is that it is far closer to what the Europeans have been paying for fuel on a per gallon adjusted for 4 liters, because it's often priced by the liter, for years. And I don't think that our gas prices, even at their highest rates that we have experienced, equaled or exceeded the cost of the equivalent per gallon cost of 4 liters of fuel. The 4 liters is a little more than a gallon. So don't, my listeners who are mathematicians and know that, do not need to pick on me for not being absolutely precise. And as I said in a recent show, I was in Barcelona for a week, and I paid, I did have one rental car for a day, and it was a diesel-powered rental car, because all the cars in Barcelona, very few of them were, I think, actually running on gasoline purely. There was a lot of diesel usage. There's apparently there was natural gas usage, and there were so many hybrids and or electric cars around that I think gasoline was not as prevalent a usage for cars in that part of Spain while I was there, at least as far as I could see. But I ended up putting $17 worth of diesel fuel in my rental car, because we had to return it with a full tank of fuel as part of the contract for renting a car there. And I could not tell you how much I used, because I was a brand new BMW rental car, and lo and behold, for the time I was using the car, which was pretty much a day's use, I never found the gas gauge in the screens on the dashboard. So what you do there is you go into a gasoline or a fuel station, and they ask you how much you want to put in so that the pump will stop automatically. And I said, put 30 euros in. Or maybe I put 30 euros in, and I ended up putting in 26 euros worth of diesel fuel, which translated into $17 American, according to my credit card bill, which I received recently about that. So be it for fuel costs around the world, if not just around Connecticut and New York, as this show was being done. The other thing I'm noticing is that the Ford F-150 Lightning trucks are showing up in more numbers. And I have read reports that the people who are buying the trucks are apparently quite thrilled with them, and Ford is pumping them out as fast as they can. They still apparently have not fulfilled the advance orders for this truck, which I believe was in the 200,000 numerical level. Whether or not that was still, it's still probably much lower than that now, and I don't know how many trucks they're producing on a monthly basis. But what I am finding, along with the fact that the Lightning buyers are seemingly happy with their trucks, pickup truck owners or buyers outside of contractors and commercial use buyers are very savvy about buying pickup trucks for personalized use. They've been that way for years. They know their trucks, besides what contractors and commercial people know about buying those trucks for their usage. So I believe that the F-150 Lightnings, I reported on another show that they were tested fully loaded with their capacity to tow and or have their pickup bed loaded, and they got nowhere on an electric charge. Nowhere being under 100 miles of use before they had to reach, you had to find a plug-in charging station. There's no question that the buyers of the electric pickup trucks, whether it's a Rivian, a Ford, the coming General Motors versions, are not buying their trucks to do heavy-duty hauling or towing in general, to run into the problem of range anxiety. So what they're doing is they're buying these trucks and they're using them like electric cars, and they can get 200 to 300 miles of charge on them, and that's all they need, because they don't drive over 200 miles a day in any reasonable time frame to have them worrying about whether or not they bought the wrong thing, the wrong vehicle as an electric vehicle or not, which is the same as with passenger car levels and SUV versions of electric vehicles. If you were not driving over $300 a day, or 250 miles a day, probably I should use that figure, you're probably going to be very happy with your electric vehicle as you pass by gas stations and people filling up. Although, what is going to happen when Connecticut raises their electric rates, which is another detail that's going to happen after this show has been done, we're going to find our electric bills apparently going up in the early part of 2023 by quite an amount. If I believe they've been approved for a considerable price increase for kilowatt-hour usage of electricity in our neck of the woods in Connecticut, if not the whole state. So I still don't have a fix on what people really think they're paying per electric charge, whether it's a full charge needed, and a full charge can be anywhere from 80% to 100%. 80% is a recommended limit to save battery life use situations, but you can overcharge by or boost the charge to 100% if you knew you were taking a long trip, so you can get the maximum amount of mileage on your battery before you have to start looking for charging stations. But As I said, I do not know what owners are thinking they're paying for a per charge situation. I can pretty much guarantee probably that right now it's well below what it would take to fill up a 15 to 20 gallon gasoline tank on an empty, fill from empty to full basis going forward. So electric car users are definitely benefiting from ownership of these vehicles at whatever level they're buying the cars or these vehicles for their non-commercial type use. Seeing the electric pickups around the corner and around our listing area, as I have seen, I'm now seeing not a lot of them, but anything more than two or three is a significant increase, leads me to also watch what's going on at dealership lots. Dealership lots are filling up with new vehicles, inventories, so that it's no longer a problem necessarily finding a vehicle that you might want to look into buying like it was a few months back. The lots are not full like they used to be when there was no chip shortage restraining the production of vehicles. But I think the manufacturers have been working around the chip shortage, which still exists, and there are varying degrees of stories about just how long it's going to continue into the 2023 and beyond era, but there's no question that I am seeing more new vehicles on some of the manufacturers' dealers' lots that I pass between my trips between our area here and Fairfield County, where I travel almost daily. And I do pass a number of different manufacturers' vehicles. A couple of Jeep dealerships, a Hyundai dealership, or a lot where Hyundai cars come, and there are increases in new vehicle presence on these lots as I go by them. And I've gone by them several times to know and see that the same vehicles are there. So sales have slowed a bit because the financing situation, at least through banks, has gotten much more expensive than it was a few months back. Although I note that Hyundai is now offering 0% financing on some of their new vehicles, which counters the bank's attempts to get 5%+ interest charging on financing through banks or non-manufacturer vehicles. Manufacturer financing rates seem to be as low as 0%, but not as many as they used to be, up into the 2.9%, 3.9% rate for 4% for 6-year financing programs. It just amazes me that people can think about financing a $60,000 purchase for 6 years. But that's what goes on in our life. Jill, you don't finance, I don't think, and I don't either, but I can avoid it. But the financing game continues to try to lure you in, and the longer they can give you a financing program for, the lower the monthly cost is. The alternative to this is probably leasing, because lease rates are still significantly less on a monthly basis for a 3-year, 4-year lease than financing the same vehicle, which also generally requires a down payment. Although leases require a down payment too. And you have to read the fine print carefully.
No, and that fine print is getting more and more. It's getting I was just going to say it's getting more and more fine. You've got a couple minutes left. Is there anything else you want to say?
Yes, I have been looking at people's tires when I walk through a parking lot, because we are in a winter season when this show is done, or coming winter season. We haven't had a lot of snow around our broadcast area yet to sit there and make me really worry about some of the lack of tread depth I see on some people's tires. But there are definitely cars in parking lots with tires that, if people can afford them, they should be thinking about replacing the tires before we have a really bad winter storm if they plan on driving in it, because the tires that I am seeing that worry me have a very thin depth factor to their tires. I don't think if you put the penny into it, you would have much more than a 16th of an inch of the penny before you hit the depth of the tread that's on those tires, which essentially is very close to seeing the tires have no tread depth at all. Very close can be as much as 10,000 or 5,000 miles away, but when you get down to very thin tread depths, you're really going to have to worry about how you drive when there's snow on the and even rain.
I was just going to ask you about rain because, you know, going back to the old days, and now we're really, really, the sands in the hourglass are running out. But going back to the old days, people did used to look at their tires, and it might not be a bad idea to resume that.
Well, if people who are listening have not looked at their tires, they should go out and look at their tires because it with rain, either rain or snow, slick tires, and those are tires with very little tread, are not very grippable on road surfaces. And boy, that means they won't go around corners. If the surface is causing an aquaplane effect between the tire and the surface of the road, and they won't stop if you've got to stop fairly suddenly as you come to even a stop sign going down a steep hill. And we have several steep town road hills that come down to a state highway around our listening corner that if you don't have good treads on your tires, you might find yourself sliding right out into the driving lane of one of the state highways where these roads tee into them. And that's the safety tip for the week.
And for the month.
And for the year. Winter season, at least.
Very good. He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
Okay.